And you know what? The Lord was enough for me in 2011. He was enough for me in 2012. And He'll be enough for you in 2014. Amen. Whatever year we're going into here. I've been through enough, brother, to know He'll be enough for me.
Started walking with the Lord, I did not fully trust Him. How He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the
try to get this thing adjusted here, Sean. Make sure we're not too loud, but loud enough. That's a tough job. We got a real special prayer request just came in. Somebody sent one girl's text and said to pray for Pam Sisk. She's a friend of ours at Marion, and they've had to rush her to the hospital over in Asheville. She's pretty bad off, and I don't know exactly what's wrong. She was in the hospital a few weeks ago for something, and going back with her tonight. So I want you to have prayer for her. Pray for her. And tonight as we pray. And then before I read the scripture tonight, David, you are you got your singing group here tonight?
Yeah.
You sing a cappella or just stand up and give a testimony or something. I appreciate David and his wife being with us tonight. Stand up and say something for the Lord back there, brother. Amen.
I was called to preach in July of 2008, and from there over here in the past few weeks, I've been going a few places and being able to preach and being able to sing. And,
Amen.
I want to thank God for saving me and for his many blessings. And one of the main songs I get asked to sing is about my fishers, and it's called The Old Stuff. And,
yeah. That's right. Amen. Amen, brother. That's right. Amen. Anybody else want to pop up for the Lord right quick? Boys, that weather outside will affect you. Just about froze up, you know, spiritually. You better be glad you ain't going to hell. God's been good to you. Ain't that right? Somebody pop up right on, right quick. Anybody else, right quick. We're going to have prayer. All right. Go ahead, Brother Ray.
I just want to thank God for our church. I know up there in the choir this morning, you could feel the Holy
Ghost. Yeah, sure could.
I like it.
Amen. One old fellow said, if you can have it and not feel it, you can lose it and not know it. And that ain't really scriptural, but it does make a little sense, you know. People say, well, I never felt nothing. You're not saved by feelings, but if you get saved, you're going to feel something once in a while. You're going to feel it. I mean, you know why people don't feel nothing? They don't bleed nothing. You don't bleed nothing. You feel it something because you bleed it. That's what makes you feel. They say, boy, if I could feel it, I'd bleed it. You got it backwards. You believe it first. Then the Lord will give you the feeling. You're going to have to take me down a little bit more, brother, on this, I can tell you. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, the chapter I had there a minute ago, and I want to show you a great verse of Scripture. I'm going to do something I hardly ever do. We're going to pray for Pam and others, and then I'm going to continue the thought that I had this morning. I hardly ever do that, but I really didn't even get to the message this morning, the points of the message about suffering, and I'm going to do that tonight. So let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to touch this lady. Father, we thank you for all you've done for us. We pray you come before you on behalf of Pam and that young man over here in the hospital at Grace. Lord God, please touch them, Lord. We don't know what the need is, but you do. We don't know what's wrong, but you do. I pray you give them doctors and everybody the wisdom to know how to help them and to be a blessing to them. Have your way in their life, Lord, and bless the family and help them all to get right with you and live for you and serve you. Lord, bless this service tonight, not only here, but other places around the country and world where men's trying to preach. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10. Chapter 3 and verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Sufferings. That the righteousness, being made conformable unto his death. Now I want to continue that thought about suffering tonight. And I'm going to give you just three or four little quick things right quick and we'll go, okay? I really sort of struck a chord with a lot of people this morning when I was talking about suffering. And you might have asked yourself the question this morning, why does God even allow us to suffer? Get down just a little bit, please, brother. Suffering in this world. Why does God even allow people to suffer? Like them people in the hospital, like them people down there in Winston-Salem and Duke. They're laying down there with tubes running in their down their throat, and I mean, there's people right now screaming and hollering all over this world. And so, why? I don't know if you ever say, well, if God loves everybody and God's good, why do we even have to have suffering in the world? I'm going to give you the Bible answer for that. I'm going to answer the question, why must we suffer? And then I'm going to tell you the good side. I'm not being funny. The good side of suffering. One man said, yeah, there's nothing possible good could come out of this. Oh, yeah. There is a good side of suffering. You're going to have to take this thing down, brother, down. Either I busted the speaker or I'm trying this one out tonight. Trying new things here in 2014. New fangled thing ain't worth a hoot. But anyway, try it right there just for a second. We're going to talk about why we suffer. We're going to talk about the good side of suffering. And I'm going to talk about how to behave during suffering and God's purpose in your suffering. And you may be suffering right there tonight. Have to listen to this. I'm going to switch. I'm going to switch mics. I've heard some preachers this. I had to suffer to listen to them. And I hope I'm not like that. Amen. Let's see if there's no word. Yeah. Try this one. It's on. It's on. Yeah, it's coming. I'll stick with the old book. The old mic. I'll stick with the old mic. Amen. Here in the Word of God, why must we suffer? Well, where's the origins of suffering? We are victims of the first lie and liar, the devil. We are victims of that. Satan. Eve believed Satan's lie and suffering came into this world. There would have never been a hospital bed. There had never been no medicine. There had never been no death. There had never been no graveyard. There had never been no little boys and little girls had to suffer if Adam and Eve had not sinned there in the Garden of Eden. Never. Never. So the origin of sin, of suffering is sin. I'm glad, thank God, one of these days the Lord's going to make a new earth where there's going to be no suffering. Ain't that going to be a blessing? Glory to God, hallelujah. Now, you young people this evening, you don't know how to appreciate that because you ain't never had no pain, a lot of you. When you get your bones broke, or you get a disease, or throw your back out, or have migraine headaches. Some people have migraine headaches. Some people have back trouble. Somebody sent me a text last night. Said they were trying to throw the bed sheet on the bed like that and just twist it. And out went their back. And boy, you know, your back is something that when your back's hurt, it messes up everything. You know, if your legs hurt, you can still do this and do this and do this and do that. Boy, when your back's out, you can't do nothing. I mean, you can't sit down. You can't stand up. You can't walk. You can't. It affects everything that you do. Everything's connected to your back. And why does God allow such suffering in the world? It's because of sin. Well, I want to say a few things about why we suffer. First of all, we suffer because we have a fallen nature. Our flesh, it's fallen. It's not perfect. It's sinful and it's susceptible to germs and injuries and things like that. You know, they said Adam and Eve had had no sin in the Garden of Eden. And if they couldn't sin, they probably couldn't get hurt. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm assuming they couldn't get hurt. They took a knife to them, wouldn't even hurt them. There was no suffering, there was no sin. Once they sinned, then came suffering. There was no suffering before Adam and Eve sinned. And then ungodly people cause us to sin. Do you realize that there's so much wicked people in the world, it brings a lot of suffering on God's people. They cause us to suffer. There's believers like them people I was preaching about this morning that were beat to death and sawn asunder. The Bible said they were tortured. They were beaten. And the Bible said the world was not worthy for these people to walk on it. That's what God said about His saints. Listen, buddy. God looks down and He sees them saints that walk with Him every day. I was talking, actually, I've heard from, she called the other day, but texting Miss Kerr. And I sent her a text the other day and said, pray for us. We're going to Alabama for revival. And she sent me one back. And then I sent her one back. And she said, pray for her. She said, she's been really, really sick.
I think about that woman that's walked with God all these years and had so much pain and so much suffering. You know what the Lord does? He looks down on one of His saints that's suffering and says, the world ain't worthy for you to walk on it. But we lift up these football players, like these guys from whoever's going to play tomorrow night. Is it Auburn somebody tomorrow night? They're all wild about down there in Alabama. They're crazy. I got up the other night and that church was full. I said, somebody says a football game. I said, does Alabama have a football team? They about died with a heart attack. They went, ah! You know, I could have said the NIV's inspired and it wouldn't have bothered them that much. I said, does Alabama have a team? I've never heard of it. And oh my goodness, I thought they was going to cuss me out. They take 10 people and they say the great so-and-so. Oh, he's a great this. He's a great fighter. He's great. Listen, the Bible said, the Lord said, the world's not worthy that them saints of God that suffered for the world ain't worthy for them to walk on. Like old Harlan Popoff what's his name? Them martyrs that I preached about this morning. Old Harlan Popoff, you know what they done to him? They put him in concentration camp. And they stood him against a white wall this far, like 14 inches, and made him stare at it. That may not seem like torture to you if you do it for about 8 hours. And they said his eyes began to burn and water. And if he started nodding off, somebody'd slap him upside the head. And he left him there day and night for 2 weeks. Every time he'd fall down, they'd kick him and knock him up, and he'd let him lay there for a while, get him back up, feed him nothing but bread and a few drops of water once in a while. I mean, they put them Christians in places like this right here, not about half as big as this. It's saying this big right here. What if you had to do this now? And it's got nails all in it. Nails through here, nails through there, nails on both sides of the box. And they put you in it like this right here. All right, you're stuck in here. Eventually, you're going to want to rest your own nails. If you lean that way, they get you. And they'll go crazy in a couple of days. Just lose their mind. Listen, them people's going to be in heaven. God said, the world ain't worthy. Listen, you teenagers, you want a poster to put on your wall? Get one of these men like that. Get one of somebody that lived for God. I don't understand why y'all want a football player put up on your wall. They don't care about you. They don't know your name. They wouldn't care if you died tonight. Why do you want to worship somebody who couldn't care less if you lived or died? Brother, get you a man of God. Get you a woman of God that the world is not worthy, but they walk on it and say, there's my hero. There's somebody I'm going to try to be like. There's somebody that suffered for God. There's somebody I want to try to live like when I grow up. You want to be a man? Get you a man of God that's went through something and pattern your life after him. You want to be a lady? Get you a woman that's lived for God and suffered and done right, and you'll be a whole lot better off than you will be some foosy like Britney Spears or somebody like that. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we suffer because of ungodly people. We suffer because of the world system. Do you know that? The world system. We are forced to live in an ungodly system. We have no choice. We're like that story of that eagle. Somehow or another, that eagle egg got mixed up with a ducks and it hatched out, and he swam around. And one day this eagle looked up and he saw this other eagle fly over, and he said, man, that just looks like something I'd love to do. And you know what? The other duck said, you might as well just get that out of your head. You're a duck. Get that out of your head. You're a duck. And he said, well, I guess I am. I'll never be able to do that. He didn't realize the whole time he was an eagle. He ought to be up there flying. Now, listen, we are no better than anybody else. We're as far as our flesh goes, we ain't no better than nobody else. But I felt like ever since I've been saved, I felt like I need to be up yonder somewhere. You feel detached from this world. You don't feel at home in this world when you really get right with God. Yeah, there's something up yonder tugging. There's something up yonder. It's just like we're stuck down here for a while, but it ain't going to be forever. Hallelujah! Amen! What a shout about that tonight, people. Listen, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm glad, brother, we got a better place to go. This world makes us suffer, and then satanic activity makes us suffer. There's satanic activity. I can prove that in the Bible. You don't believe it? The Bible said over there in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it said He healed many that was oppressed by the devil. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you tonight that everybody's got something wrong with them. It's demonic. It's not. But some of it is. Some of it is. And the Bible said that one guy couldn't talk. He was like deaf and dumb. And the Bible said that a dumb spirit. And the Lord cast it out and the guy could talk. He was possessed. I'm not saying people who are deaf and dumb are demons. I'm not saying that. But some of them are. Could be. There's people, I think, my opinion, that you have a physical weakness and then the devil gets advantage of it and gets in you. That's what I think. I think that can be proved as you watch people. If the devil can find a physical weakness, he'll get in. If the devil can find a physical weakness in your mind, maybe you're weak-minded. Some people are not very strong this way. Some people are not very strong maybe other way. Some people are not very strong mentally. And I don't mean that ugly. I'm just saying weak-minded and feeble-minded, the Bible calls it. Feeble-minded, what the Bible says. And the devil will take advantage of that. I don't believe that everybody in a mental hospital is demon-possessed. But there are definitely spirits hanging around them places. If you don't believe it, go over yonder and visit sometime. I'm telling you, son, I'm telling you, Lord have mercy, I've been in that place before, and it felt like, I felt like something was choking me. I was in there visiting a guy one day, and was sitting in here, and I was talking to him, and another guy walked by the door, and he looked at me like this. I just went like this. Oh God, help me, oh God. I thought, Lord, I'm trapped in this place. Lord, if they get on me, I never get out of here. I said, Lord, help. And I don't say that to be ugly. I'm saying there was demonic activity and satanic activity causes people to suffer. It threw one guy in the fire. And threw him in the, and cast him in the fire and in the water. I mean, he'd just be walking around like, all of a sudden it'd throw him in the water. He'd just be going down the road like, all of a sudden he'd flip him over in the fire. You see, I've seen people do crazy stuff like that. Walking on hot coals, burning themselves, stuff like that. That's satanic activity. Cutting yourself is satanic activity. And cutting your flesh, that's not normal. That's not natural. That's satanic activity. I had the other kids the other night down in Alabama. I said, how many of you kids know somebody cuts herself? Every one of them in there raised their hand. 95% in there. You know what that is? That's satanic. That is one. Angelina Jolie and them says that they relieve stress by cutting herself. I mean, if that's true, I reckon I ain't never had no stress. Because I've never had no desire to cut Brother Danny. Brother Danny don't need to be cut. I don't want to be cut. I might have a desire to cut you, but I ain't going to have no desire to cut me. That's crazy. I can't believe somebody want to cut themselves. But you said, if I'm an emo, you're a nuthead, what you are. That's right, brother. Amen. That ain't natural. That's demonic. That's influenced by spirits. That's satanic activity. That ain't normal. Went to school, I never knew nobody cut herself. I knew girls that when they really liked the boy, they'd try to carve his initials in their arm, and that was probably satanic. I don't doubt that one bit. You know, you're about crazy if you get somebody's name tattooed on you. Because when you leave you, you've got to find you another one with that same name. Take that R off of there. Put something else on top of it. Can you convert that into an S? Listen, brother, I'm telling you, satanic activity causes us to suffer. Secondly tonight, let me say this. Let me talk about the good side of suffering. What is the good side of suffering? Yeah, it's blasphemy. I know if you're hurt. If you're hurting tonight, you say, don't you stand up there and tell me that suffering's good. I didn't say it was. I said it has a good side. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19 and 20, it said, you can suffer in vain, or you can get a reward for it, however you handle it. Now, the good side of suffering is, listen to this, suffering causes us to confess our sin, and a lot of people won't even admit they're sinning until they start hurting real bad. If something causes you to confess your sin, it's good for you. Well, I've seen people, you can't tell them nothing. They won't listen, but about that time this old body starts hurting. They're calling the preacher. They're hitting the altar. That car wreck, somebody had a car wreck some time ago, and one of the family members said, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. 2 days later, before that, they wouldn't even speak to each other. Then when the car wreck happened, I'm sorry, I love you. I'm sorry. Let me tell you something, brother. Suffering causes you to confess your sins. When this whole body starts hurting enough, you'll quit that sinning. Hey, when's the last time you went to the hospital to visit a man? He's been there. Hand me a Playboy boot. You don't want a Playboy book. Man don't want a Playboy book who's laying there hurting. Anything that'll make you quit sinning is good for you. Amen, preacher. Amen. The good side of suffering, it'll make you quit sinning. Say amen right there. Listen, if you're hurting bad enough, you'll turn them dirty movies off. You'll cut out of that wicked relationship. You hurt bad enough, you'll stop anything. You say, God, if you'll help me, I'll never do that again. That's a good side of suffering. And suffering causes us to forsake our sin. The Father's loving, chastening causes us to get right. See, when you whip the kids and they quit sinning and they stay out of jail, you've done them a favor. So when God whips us and keeps you maybe from getting a disease or keeps you from getting shot or killed or something, He's done you a favor. If the Lord has whipped you and hit you for sinning, you ought to appreciate Him for that. You ought to say, thank you, Lord. I didn't like it, but I needed it, and I appreciate it. I've asked the Lord for it. I said, Lord, I guess you need to whip me. And I wasn't trying to sound spiritual neither. I said, Lord, I guess you just need to whip me. And maybe take it easy on you. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing, brother. When He gets done with you, you ain't going to want to sin no more. Number three, how to behave during suffering. How to behave during suffering. You going through a hard time right now? Here's how you behave. Number one, rejoice. Bible said rejoice in the Lord. When? Always. And again, I say rejoice. Not just when the bills is paid and the family's happy and everything going good and you got a nice car and clothes, but when everything bottom falls out and the divorce papers are signed and the car's tore up and the money's gone, we rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Not only that, we are to not act like a martyr. If you're going through a suffering, don't act like a martyr. Like you said, there are people, they have... Everybody has trouble. You're not the only one, you know. They walk around and they're like, oh, I'm just suffering for the Lord. I'm just so pitiful. And every time you see them, all they talk about is how pitiful they are and how much they went through and all the bad times. Listen, people, we all go through bad times. I'm not belittling your hard times, but I'm telling you, brother, we all go through it. Man's born in trouble as sparks fly upward. We all go through problems. Ladies and gentlemen, get used to it. Take it like a man. Don't act like a martyr and say, God, you've been good to me anyway. Amen. Hold your head up and go to work tomorrow and say, praise God, He's been good. I picked up this old drunk in Marion one time, a long time ago, and he sat down beside me. We knew all the drunks in Marion. I used to know all of them. And I know a lot of them down here now. And I picked this old drunk up and he said, Danny, you've been through a lot up at that church, ain't you? I said, yep, sure have. He said, you know what? If I ever do start going to church, that's where I'm coming, your church. And you know why he said that? It wasn't, he never heard me preach, I don't reckon. He said that because he saw us go through sufferings. And he said, when the people see you go through sufferings and stay faithful, they know what you've got is real.
Yeah.
Why else would you do it? If what we got's real, first time we have a hard time, we'd say, heck with this, man. I ain't doing this no more. But when people see you stay in there and stay in there and stay in there against unsurmountable odds and the devil just knocking you down and beating you to death and you stay, you know what people say? That thing must be real. God must be real. There really is a God. That His faith is right. I'm telling you, the good side of suffering is keep your head up, live for God. You can influence somebody else to come to the Lord. Then the last thing I'll say is, of course, you got to accept Romans 8:28. All things work together for good that love God. I don't care what you're going through, how bad your trouble is. It says all things work together for good. It did not say all things are good. It said all of it works together for good. One day when we see the big picture, we'll look back and say, well, I'll be. Last thing I'm saying is God's purpose for you in suffering. You know why God lets you suffer? And I'm through. Number one, He lets you suffer so that you can help a weaker brother. You know, when you go to the funeral home and somebody's mother has died and your mother has died, you can put your arm around them and say, I know how you feel. I went through this. And it helps people. They say, oh my goodness, you know what it's like, don't you? You know why God lets us have trouble and heartache? So we can help other people that are coming through. What if we never had no trouble and everything was great after you're saved? We wouldn't be worth shooting. We wouldn't pray. We wouldn't read church. You wouldn't even go to church half the time. But God allows trouble to keep us humble and keep us down on our knees and that we might help somebody else. Number two, God lets us have trouble so we can show the world that the grace of God is sufficient. And number three, we enter into fellowship of the Lord Jesus' suffering. I like what somebody said. The weaver, like weaving a basket or weaving a quilt. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the cords. He worketh steadily. Oft times He weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget that He sees the upper and I the underside. See, the Lord's looking down up there. He sees the top side. We see the bottom. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern that He planned. You know what? When God lets you go through suffering in your life, it's just as important. I told one of our members the other day, lady had a rough time this year, went through some terrible burdens. And you know what I told her? I said, one day, when you get older and you look back, and you'll say, when did I really grow during my Christian life? When did I get strong? When did I learn to trust God? It'll be during that time right there. When I look back over my life and I think, when did I really grow? Was it that time I got that car, that new car? No. I mean, ain't nothing wrong getting a car. I'd like to have another. But that ain't what I didn't really grow spiritually because of that. You know what my mind goes immediately to? Them hard times when I didn't know what I was going to do or where I was going to turn or how I was going to make it. That's when you grow as a Christian. We don't like it, but as you look back one day, you'll realize that that was when God was really working in your life. I told my pastor, Preacher Hollifield, years ago, Lord, 25 years ago, I was going through a real hard time, and I said, Preacher, I said, I'm questioning everything. I said, I thought I had this thing figured out. And now I'm questioning everything I believe. And you know what he told me? He was 70 years old. He said, you're in better shape now for God to use you than you was then. And he was right. Because there's less of me and more of God. If it's all us and not much God, the Lord can't use us. You know when the Lord can use you? When you burn out, buddy. When you're burnt, when this old flesh burns and hurts, that's when God can use you. That's why we suffer. Let's stand this evening. Let's stand. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't know who you are or what your situation is tonight. But I would strongly encourage you, don't get bitter. Don't get bitter.